This morning we're going to begin read a verse to us in the book of 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 32 tells us, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. And we just ask you to help us now that we might be an able minister of the Word of God, that you would just anoint us and help us to speak your Word, Father, as pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We begin looking this morning. We've looked these last couple of weeks at some Bible themes, some major themes of the Bible, and we began with Jesus, and we looked at Jesus, and amen, we see Jesus from cover to cover. Last week we looked at mankind and preached about mankind as we see him, it unfolded there in scriptures. And this morning we want to look at the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. And all these are mentioned here in our text verse. And when you survey scriptures, these are the three groups of people that you consistently see in scripture. Jews, Gentiles, and the church. And so I want to take a brief look at each one of these groups from Scripture because it's important in understanding God's present purpose in this world. And we begin with, number one, with the Jews. And we turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1, it tells us, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The Jews are, as we see them in Scripture, referred to as the children of Israel. They are that nation that sprang forth from Abraham. And we see this call of Abraham here in Genesis chapter number 12. And God telling Abram what he was going to do, how he was going to bless him. And of course, in time, God was going to change his name from Abram to Abraham, is how we generally refer to him now and know him as Abraham. And so this was going to take place. God was going to give him a promised son. And so this line of people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, began there with Abraham and was coming through the line of Isaac and Jacob. And they are the earthly people of God. God has called them. And so this particular people group, the nation of Israel, the Jews, have survived until this present day. And it is a miraculous thing that they have survived until this day. But amen. And they're going to yet survive, and not only survive, but be the dominant, glorified people of the earth in the coming age. It tells us in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 62, amen, Isaiah chapter number 62, and you can read the whole chapter. We won't read every verse here, but just look in verse number 7, and it says there, "And give him no rest until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Now, let me back up and catch verse number 6, because what it says God's done there, he said, "I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent." You want to know why Israel is preserved as a nation till this very day? Amen. A people that lost their homeland, exiled, and went into different parts of this world, but yet they maintain their national identity as Jews. Amen. It's because God, amen, had set a watchman. Amen. And he set it over the nation. And throughout the years, a lot of things has happened. Amen. A lot of bad things. A lot of folks has tried to extinguish them off of the face of the earth, but God has always had a watchman that's been watching. Why? Because God made a promise to Abraham, and God does not go back on his word. Amen. He never does. And so we look on, we read in this same chapter, we just look at verse number 11. It said, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying, ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." God's worked with them in the past. He set a watchman, he's kept. And amen, and there's future blessing. This particular chapter here is part of speaking about the days to come and the restoration of the nation of Israel. Amen, in time to come, what God's going to do for them. Amen, because he made Abraham a promise, and he's not going to go back on his promise. Now, we see the eternal promise of God to Israel. It cannot be altered. I mean, God speaks it. And what's the Bible say God cannot do? He cannot lie. And so God's going to keep His word. And some of the things, when we look at the promises to the nation of Israel and what God promised unto them, we see in Jeremiah chapter number 31, amen, Jeremiah chapter number 31, in verse 35, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Amen. The sun, the moon, the stars, the creation itself has got to fail. Amen. Before Israel is going to fail to be a nation. So what God has promised them is He's promised them a national, as a national entity. God made them, Israel, that promise that He was going, if the sun and the moon fail, then God says, amen, the promise is ceased to be. But you know what? Every morning of my life that I've got up, I've never really worried about the sun, moon failing. Amen. It's going to be here till God gets ready, amen, to roll it all and wind it all up.
Amen.
And so He's made them that promise. If we look back, amen, and we might not read all of these verses, not just mention some of them, but I do want to look back here in the book of Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13 and verse number 15, he says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever." Abraham, I want you to look out, because here's another promise that God has given to the nation of Israel. He said, here's the land. Boy, do they fight over land today? Amen. Is there a squabble over land and who owns and what? Well, let me just tell you something. God hadn't changed His mind. Amen. He made a promise unto the nation of Israel and to Abraham. And He said, look out on this land. I want you to look at it. He said, because I'm going to give it to you. But He also, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And we read in verse number 13. It says, in verse number 13, "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Okay, we got a throne there promised. We look down in verse number 16, and it says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And then if we look back over just back up into verse number 5, we see God speaking to Nathan the prophet in verse number 5. He says, "And go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in." So what we see here in God speaking to David and some of the promises that we see, God promised them a king. Promised David, He said, you're going to have a king. Amen. What a king that's what? A king forever. You're going to have a kingdom and there's going to be a throne. So God's making all of these promises. And because God cannot lie, He's faithful to every word that He has ever spoken. These promises to the Jews have been and will be kept. Now, when you look at these promises to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, we can see that these promises are primarily earthly in nature. Amen. Promising them a national identity, a land, a throne, a kingdom, a king. And so we see all these things. But each of these promises, each promise that God made unto the nation of Israel was everlasting in its duration. That's a long time. That went up everlasting. Well, how long is that? Well, That means it'll still be in effect tomorrow, in 100 years from now, in 1,000 years. It'll still be into effect. God has made the promise. And so when we think about Israel, these are the promises. And sometimes we can see God made some promises to Israel that he didn't make to anybody else. And we can take certain things from the promises of God. But I mean, God was promising Israel some things that he's not promised other folks. Now, he didn't bless Israel to the exclusion of everybody else. But amen, he blessed them to the inclusion. And we see, when we think about the nation of Israel, there's four words in God's divine purpose for the Jews that we could use and see. They were chosen. God chose them. God called Abraham out and he chose them as a nation, as a people. We hear the word scattered. God scattered them. They've been scattered all over this world. But also the word gathered. Even in Bible times, there was some scattering that went on and there was some gathering that went on. And see, there's still some gathering to be done in the future. And also the word blessed. You see, God has blessed them in the past. He's going to bless them in the future. But when you read Scripture, the Jews are in there. The nation of Israel, we see them as a distinct people of God. And God has not changed his mind concerning the promise that he made to Abraham. But secondly, we see the Gentiles. Amen. In the book of Genesis, we find in Genesis chapter number 10, and in Genesis chapter number 10 and verse number 5, it tells us, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations." So here in Genesis chapter 10 and 5 is the first occurrence of the word Gentiles in the Bible. The vast company of people who are not Jews are Gentiles. Now, the word Gentile, by definition, is a foreign nation. The Jews were God's chosen people, and everybody else were Gentiles, the Gentile nation. The book of Ephesians tells us, in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse number 11, "Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." You know, God made a covenant with Israel and they were circumcised. Amen. He said, the circumcised, you were called uncircumcised by those that were by the nation that was circumcised, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. When we look back to the Old Testament, we see what God in his working with the Jews and how God worked with them. But apart from certain individuals in Scripture, there's no record that during the period from Adam to Christ that God sustained any special relation or extended any immediate promises to the Gentiles as he did to the Jews. However, God's promise to Abraham was a promise of future blessing to all of mankind. He says in Ephesians 2 and 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You see, he said, Abraham, in blessing Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless thy seed and Isaac. Amen. All nations of the earth are going to be blessed because there was a promise made. Amen. And that promise was, amen, that a Messiah was coming. And amen, he didn't just come to save, amen, the nation of Israel. He came to save the whole world. Yeah. And so we, as Gentiles, we get to take part in the privilege of the gospel. But amen. But we are, this morning, we are Gentiles according to the flesh. Amen. And of course, the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews viewed them as a foreign nation, a foreign people. They didn't have the promises. And see, like, because the Jews, you know what they were? They were flesh. They were men. What happened to them? Same thing that happens to men now. God made a promise of what God intended for their good and for them to be a blessing to the rest of the world. Amen. And not for all, but at some points and at some times, it turned to the thing of the Pharisee being a Jew, standing and praying and thanking God that I'm not like that old publican over there. I'm better than he is. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. You were given promises by the grace of God. And God has so given you them promises to, for you to see the mercy and the grace of God and to change, amen, not your outward man, but your inward man, that inward, that heart would love your neighbor. Amen. Because see, they ask that question, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus answered that. So see, when he chose the Jewish nation and he didn't choose the Gentiles, he didn't do it to exclude them. But amen, God was working through the nation of Israel to bless the entire world. Amen. And we see, now then, we know that there were some Gentiles that God did some things for. That, I mean, he touched and healed and helped. Amen. And thank God he did. And he wasn't, God loved us. And how much? Well, he sent his son for us. But we see them two distinct groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. And then we see the third group, amen, the church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus says here, I will build my church. My church. And he also says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, when we look about today in this world that we live, sometimes we think that the hell's a raging, it looks like they're prevailing, but it will not. Why? Because Jesus said, see, God made the promise to Abraham. He called Abraham out and he made him some promises. Amen. Now Jesus is saying here, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we looked at Jesus a couple of weeks ago, amen, what did we say about Jesus? Amen. The Bible said that he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And here we have Jesus, amen, speaking and said, I'm going to build my church. Now the church of God, and listen to this, the church of God refers not to the membership of organized churches, but to the whole company of redeemed who have been saved in this present age. Amen. The church of God. Now then, it should be that all of the members of the organized church, the local churches that are members of the local churches, they should be part of the redeemed, the church of God. But amen, everybody, I'm afraid, that's a member of the local church is not members of God's church. Because, listen, just this week I looked and saw some things, amen, that goes on in what people call church, amen, that they're not in the kingdom of God. Preacher, how do you say that? Well, because everything that they do is contrary to Scripture. You cannot be and go and be contrary to Scripture. Listen, I mentioned here the other day about the one that said that we've moved far enough along, we need a third testament, because these first two, this old New Testament, is getting to be problematic. It gets problematic because men and women want to live in sin. And they still call themselves part of the church. They're part of the organized church. They may have a name on a roll somewhere and say, I'm a member of this church. But the church of God refers to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, all persons in that company have entered into the kingdom of God, because it tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. You see, there, if you're born again, then we can enter into the kingdom of God. If we're born again, then we're part of God's church. We're part of God's church. Now, we are a local assembly, and amen, I pray everybody in the house has been born again. But amen, if not, amen, today's the day. Today is the day of salvation. But everybody that's in God's church has been born again. And God help, I know we have divisions. We've got different denominations, but here's the thing. Amen, in different denominations, you know what you've got? You've got some folks in there that needs to be born again, and you got some that have been born again. Part of the kingdom of God. We got brothers and sisters that we don't agree on all points. But you know what they are? They're brothers and sisters in Christ. I got a couple of brothers. You know what? Have we always agreed on all points? Not on all points, we hadn't. But you know what we've always been? We've always been brothers. God help us. God help us in the church to, amen, to be the family that God would have us to be. Secondly here, about the church, they, from the beginning, we all were in the first Adam. But those that have been redeemed, we're in now the second Adam. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Ephesians 1 and 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, when we came into this world, we had the old nature of our earthly father Adam. But amen, for those that have been born again, amen, the Bible says if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. The Spirit of God lives. We get born again. We're birthed into the family of God. We're in God's family. We're in God's kingdom, and we are in Christ. How does God see us? He sees us in Christ. In Christ. There has been a nationality change. Listen, Colossians 3, 10, 11 says, And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. I mean, there's been a nationality change. Jews, Gentiles. And listen, when you read the book of Acts, guess what? The Jews, they had some problems with that. There were some things they had to overcome. Amen. Because the Gentiles were led into the church, that God was saving the Gentiles just like He was saving the Jews, because there had been a separation. But now, amen, for the children of God, the Bible says, guess who's in the church? Amen. Everybody that's been redeemed, that's been born again. Who is that? Some's Jews, some's Gentiles. Amen. Some's bond, some been free. There's no difference now. Now, does that mean that there's not Jews in the world and Gentiles in the world and we can distinguish between? Does that mean that every man in the world's free? And enough? That don't mean that. No matter our state, no matter if we're Jew or Gentile, no matter if we're a bond man or free man, amen. If we're in Christ, amen, we're on level ground. We've all been saved by the grace of God. And amen, and in Him we have a new nationality. We're one in Christ Jesus. And therefore we have new citizenship. Philippians 3 and 20 says, For our conversation, and that word conversation there speaks of citizenship, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, It's been, I think it was it this week? I think this past week or the week before that we had a military man that was in Russia that got released and they worked a deal. And I think he'd been there for, was it 4 years about that? And he got to come home. They negotiated, they brought him home. While he was there, you know where his hope lay? Well, then how's he getting home? I mean, folks in China wasn't worried about him getting home. I mean, folks around the world, but his citizenship was in America. And America, I mean, they finally was able to bring him home. The church, our citizenship, the Bible said, is in heaven. Where do we look? God help us. We look everywhere around in this world for help. And we think, well, if we could do this, what we need is to look for our Savior from heaven. Amen. That's where our help comes from. We're citizens of a country, amen, that you cannot see with the natural eye. And we don't look for salvation to come. Our deliverer's not coming from the White House. Amen. He's coming from somewhere much higher. He's coming from heaven. The Redeemer of the Church of God. The one that gave His life to save every member of the family that trust Him. And it's to Him that we look this morning for salvation.
Amen.
And just as much as the promises to the Jews were earthly promises in nature, their promises, their possessions, their position, each one of those for the church is heavenly. He's made us a promise, but amen, it's not of, because we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of a world to come. And it's heavenly promises. Citizens of a heavenly country. Ephesians tells us, if y'all will come with a song of invitation while I finish up. Amen. Citizens of a heavenly country. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This calling is a heavenly calling. And what does He tell us? What does He tell the church? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Come out from among them. You know what God called the Jews to be? Amen. They differed. God gave them laws and things to do. They wasn't supposed to live like everybody else. You know what God's done for the church? He says, "You're citizens of heaven now. You need to come out from among them. We're not to live like everybody else. We're the church, the redeemed of God." And so we see in Scripture this morning, and when we look, we see these three groups. We see the Jews, we see the Gentiles, and we see the church of God. And I pray this morning that you, each and every one of us, is a member, amen, of God's redeemed church.
Amen.
But if not, amen, as we sing, you come this morning.
Page 216.
Page 216 in the red book. If you'll stand and let's sing this morning. And if you have a need while we sing, you come.